Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you and praise you for another day that you have made. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for another day that you have allowed me to see. Lord God, as we come before you, we thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning and for starting us on our way. Thank you, Lord God, for enclosing us in our right minds. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for the use and activity of our limbs. Thank you for every way that you have made. Thank you for every door that you have opened. Thank you for every prayer that you have answered. Thank you for every miracle that you have performed. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us a testimony that we have been redeemed and delivered from the hand of the enemy. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might have a right to the tree of life. To this we give all of the praise to the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Lord God, we bless your holy name on today, for you are worthy of praise and worthy of glory and worthy of honor. There is none like you. And Lord God, as we come together, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you will look upon your people. Lord God, touch each and every family member one by one and name by name. Lord God, meet their present need even now. I pray, Lord God, that you would protect and shield your people. Protect them from the hand of the wicked one. Cancel the assignment of the enemy, Lord God, and be a hedge and shield all around them. I pray and ask of you, Lord God, to strengthen us and help us, Lord God, to make it on this journey and hold on to your unchanging hand. And Lord God, as we go forward in your word, let all things be done decently and in order. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord, saints. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I greet the Lord's most precious and wonderful souls. Amen. In love. Glory to God. Amen. Because Jesus loves you so very much. Amen. And some of you can't even wrap your mind around how much he loves and cares for the people that he gave his life for. And we certainly thank him for that on today. Amen. We're going to, amen, be speaking from a scripture found in the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 25. Again, that's Matthew, chapter 12, verse 25. And I will begin to read in your hearing. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And today we will speak from the subject, United We Stand, Divided We Fall. Amen. The title of our lesson is a phrase that has been said to be centuries old, and it has also been used by some over the years as a motto or mantra to emphasize the importance of unity. Theoretically, more can be accomplished if individual members of a group are united in a cause. But if individual members struggle or fight against each other, then nothing will be accomplished. If we consider governmental politics within the United States of America, there is a great divide between the Democratic and the Republican parties, and the age-old differences of opinion has to do with liberal or conservative views. These two parties oppose one another on the political spectrum, and because of their never-ending wars on social, moral, or economic issues, the House is divided. It does not matter who the president is. If his party affiliation does not control the House or the Senate, very little will be accomplished by the end of his presidency. Divisions commonly end in dissolutions. In regards to churches and nations, the adversary can easily overthrow governments and church establishments by sowing seeds of discord or by creating an atmosphere that will cause people to be at variance one with another. One of the things that we know about the adversary is that he loves chaos and divisiveness. As children of God, we should always keep this in the forefront of our minds and not feed into his antics, because if you do, then his job is pretty much finished. Just look at the state of our nation and other nations around the world. The devil sowed his seed, the lawmakers took the bait, and now all he's doing is watching our country self-implode. Things are unraveling so fast, we are heading swiftly towards dissolution. The core concept to remember is that there is strength in unity. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should not strive against each other, but unite as one to destroy the works of a common enemy. It is the will of the Lord that we unite as one for the common purpose of building the kingdom of God and not tear one another down. As said by the Apostle Paul to the Philippians in chapter 1:27, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In view of the current state of the churches, it is clear that we are divided on many issues, which in essence have caused disunity over the years. However, it must be acknowledged that this is nothing new, because in New Testament scripture, we find evidence that there was division among the saints in the days of the apostles. In Paul's first epistle to the Corinthian church, he addressed the contentions and feuds that arose concerning human leadership. He had to extinguish the argument that certain ministers of the Lord were greater than others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 10, Paul wrote, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ." This was an apparent attempt to break up the church into factions. From theological studies, it is believed that some favored Paul as the most sublime and spiritual teacher. Apollos was held in high regards, perhaps as the most eloquent speaker. Cephas, or Peter perhaps, for the authority of his age or because he was the apostle of circumcision. And some were for none of them but Christ only. But Paul followed up with a question. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? The point being made is no ministers, however instrumental, can replace Christ or usurp his authority. Christ is not divided, neither is the church to be divided. And it does not matter what your position or title is in ministry. As Jesus said, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Ministers of the gospel are no more than ministers. They are called by God and used by God, but are not to be exalted above God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the apostle blames the Corinthians for their carnality, which was the root of their contention and discord. Beginning at verse 3, he wrote, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" In other words, is not your behavior according to the flesh and not governed by the rules of Christianity? Paul goes on to say, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So as preachers of the gospel, we are laborers together with God. And as servants of the Lord, we should not strive to rise above our station, because at the end of the day, all of the glory belongs to God. Even the best qualified and most faithful ministers must acknowledge that without him, we can do nothing." In summation, this incident that occurred in the Corinthian church also sends a message to the churches today that factions and divisions, praising one more than the other, or esteeming the people whom God called more than the one who called them, is something that we should avoid doing. True religion makes men peaceable and not contentious or factious. Yet we find in this present church culture some of the practices that the Apostle Paul discouraged. There are carnal-minded Christians that cannot seem to grasp hold of the principles or the importance of unity. Just as in the instance of the Corinthian church, some people have a tendency of putting certain leaders on a pinnacle. Though they are outstanding orators and gifted, they are not to be praised more than God. They are servants of the Most High God who are to serve and not to be served. All that they do for the building of the kingdom is just their reasonable service. The greater you are in ministry, the greater servant you are to become. The Bible says concerning Jesus, who was the greatest of all times, that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was the perfect picture of humility. And in one instance, he declared that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We are admonished in scripture to mark the perfect man. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Being in a position of greatness does not mean that you are to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, it reads, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." When you do things for vain glory or for self-exaltation, this type of attitude is destructive in regards to Christian love and the fellowship of the saints. In today's church culture, there are some that strive for leadership position that do not have the right mindset. For some, having a title give them a sense of importance and privilege. Some have an elevated opinion about themselves and believe that they are to be catered to. When Jesus said, "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." Having the title of pastor, bishop, prophet, prophetess, or evangelist is not for the purpose of abusing your power in ministry or fleecing the parishioners out of their money to support your lavish lifestyles just so you can walk around like a celebrity. This isn't Hollywood, and the pulpit is not supposed to be a stage for great performances. This gospel is to be preached to the saving of souls, not for personal gain or to use God's people to fulfill your personal desires. Are ye yet carnal? The Lord spoke through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And I will give you pastors according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." There is a difference between a pastor that was handpicked by God and an opportunist. So before you get carried away with certain personalities, you better pray and ask God for spiritual discernment in order to know the difference. Some churches are not founded on the foundation that Jesus laid. They are built upon the foundation that they laid, which is the gospel of money and prosperity. Understand this. There are so-called spiritual leaders that use coercion, trickery, or deceptive measures for the love of money. False prophets play on the conscience of people by using tactics that will pressure them to give their money. But the Lord loves offerings that comes from the heart. The word of God says, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The word of God says, every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Going back to the subject of divisions, church leaders are divided on the issue of wealth and prosperity, and has created contrasting teachings aimed at the haves and the have-nots. In other words, you know, they created certain teachings that will benefit the idea that there's something wrong if you're not rich or if you're not prosperous. But is this not carnal? The church for a long time has been divided even on the issues of doctrines. And this is made evidenced by the number of denominations that has sprung forth since the early church. We learn in the book of 3 John, who was the last living apostle, that there was power struggles in the church. There were certain leaders who rejected the apostolic letters and John's authority. And this marked the beginning of when the primitive church order disappeared. The rejection of the epistles written by the apostles is the root and the cause for so many going out establishing their own religion. So now, instead of being one voice and one faith, we are now multiple voices, having many faiths, all claiming to be of God. There is also infighting over who has the right to function in certain offices in the church. When the Lord does not have respect of persons. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, it reads, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither a bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. And furthermore, the Lord will use whomsoever he will. The church is also divided on social issues. And I say this, the only way to end all arguments is to refer to the word of God. People must understand that there are two sets of standards. God has his own standards, and there are standards accepted by society, but there is only one law and one lawgiver. And his standard is the one we are to uphold. The Lord will never lower himself to the standards of society because he is a holy and a righteous God. As I heard it once said, God is everywhere, but he is not in everything. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16:15, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The way of society is to promote sin, ungodliness, and all manner of immorality. But what is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. There is so much division among the saints. But it is time for us to go back to the old landmark. We must remember that the church was founded upon the rock whose name is Jesus. There is only one way to get to God, and only one voice that we should follow. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 read, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The Lord is calling for unity in the churches. The infighting has to stop. The wars and rumors of wars among the saints must cease, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are not your enemy. Instead of tearing one another down, we should strive to build one another up. The Lord is calling us back to the center of his will and to trust only in what he has said. We are not to follow every wind of doctrine or follow someone else's philosophical views, but to stand united on the word of God and prayer. We have so much to contend with at this present time. Every other month is a new COVID variant. The Russian-Ukraine conflict can potentially expand. Senseless acts of violence are on the rise. So who has time to be stuck on stupid? We must come together as one people of God and stop fighting against each other, but war against sin, war against injustice, war against the demonic influences and powers that are all around us. We must stand united with one voice, calling on the name that is above every name, in whom even the devils believe and tremble. Jesus is our rock. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our mighty battle axe. Jesus is still a healer. And if Jesus can't fix it, then it can't be fixed. In a time of war, we need all hands on deck. We must fight this battle together. We cannot win this war unless we come together. And if we come together, we will come out victoriously. Amen. Because united, amen, we will stand, but divided, we will fall. Praise God and hallelujah. Amen. This is a togetherness thing. Amen. Not a separatist thing. Amen. God didn't call us to be mavericks. Amen. But he called us into a unity. In conclusion, we are the body of Christ. And every member of the body depends on each other. Whether some people want to acknowledge it or not, we need each other. It will take a corporate effort to get through the next series of the trials that's ahead. And if we're divided, we're doing the devil's bidding. The enemy loves discord. And when we are divided, he glories in it. Let us not give the devil a reason to celebrate. People of God, united we stand. Divided we fall. If we consider how Jesus prayed in the book of John, chapter 17. Before he departed, he prayed an intercessory prayer. And he prayed for the disciples because he knew that it was imminent after his departure that the wolves would come and try to divide the house. But here's what he prayed in John 17, starting at the 21st verse. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent us. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. The Lord is calling us to unity. And that prayer may have been prayed over 2,000 years ago. But guess what? He also had the modern day church in mind. Saints of God, we've got to come together. And we can't get caught up in the world's argument. Because as Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And because we are servants of the Most High God, we can say the same thing, that our kingdom is not of this world. The world will do what the world is going to do. But as saints of God, we must do as God would have us to do. United, we stand. Divided, we fall. Amen. And God bless you.